Thank you, Gil. So today I'm going to present the results of this study that estimated very broadly the willingness to pay for a cross-border product between Mexico and the United States. First of all, I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Gil and Xochitl Castañeda, from the Health Initiative of the Americas, now at the UC Berkeley. Obviously, I have to acknowledge financial support from CPAC and the Health Initiative of the Americas. And my presentation is going to be divided in four parts. First, I'm going to provide you with the background of this study, then which were the study objectives, how we interpret and ask for willingness to pay in this survey, and finally, I'm going to show you the results that I invite you to discuss with me. As Will and David already mentioned, there are several Mexican-born people living in the U.S. As far as the most updated figure that I read, it was 12 million people. And most of them, who 61.7%, have been in the country for more than 10 years, while approximately 43.7% are recent arrivals. And as we already know, they are much more likely to be uninsured relative to the native-born U.S. population. Also, Mexicans are overrepresented among the undocumented that obviously have several challenges to access care and to have health insurance. Previous research that we cite in our paper shows, it's mostly anecdotal in small samples, but shows that Mexicans go back and forth in the border and use healthcare in both Mexico and the United States. Also, it's very important to know that these migrants, up to last year, sent almost $23 billion as remittances to Mexico, which are the second most important source of foreign reserves in the Bank of Mexico. And almost half of all families receiving remittances from migrants in the U.S. reported some health expenditure in Mexico, either with public or with private providers. We also know that Mexico is much more integrated with the U.S. and the Canadian economy since NAFTA, so this invites for more cross-border utilization of health services, not only among the the poorest or uninsured population, but also more affluent and probably a population that will be willing to pay more for health insurance with private providers in Mexico. And again, the controversy that how much they can save depends. If you prefer to use health services in the private sector in Mexico, there may not be any savings at all. Or it may be 50 to 90%. If you go to public providers, the savings might be higher. But obviously, there's nothing clear that can show the real savings cost differential between the U.S. and Mexican healthcare systems. The objectives of our study was to estimate the willingness to pay for a hypothetical cross-border health plan and assess what will be the main predictors of this willingness to pay. We decided to go for an hypothetical plan because we consider that current options were very limited, not only by social status, but also geographically. So we decided to convene a panel of experts that agreed on a feasible binational health plan. And these experts suggested that providing ambulatory and preventive healthcare in the U.S., not hospitalization, and everything else provided in Mexico would be the type of health plan, binational product, that could be more easily sold in the U.S. So we decided to test this hypothetical plan in an event that took place in L.A. It was a soccer tournament that was that included also a folk event called Copa Federaciones. So we had a sample of Mexican families. Soccer tournaments are really a bad place to make surveys because they are overrepresented by male. But this event had a second part of the event. It was a folk event when gather also other family members who were interested in interacting with people from 12 different states of Mexico. So most of the migrants in California are overrepresented by Western Mexican states. And this event provided us with the opportunity to sample states that are underrepresented in California by convening people from other states that are not from Mexico, from Western Mexico, but that are still living in LA. So it was a very nice and low-cost opportunity to sample a more representative sample of the Mexican population living in California. We decided to go for a referendum format because we read the literature on contingent valuation and unwillingness to pay, and we found that this method minimizes the tendency to exaggerate values. Because if you ask an open question to in a survey, well, how much are you willing to pay for this? Many times, like when there are not very clear boundaries in the value of a product, people that cannot conceive how much they are really willing to pay for it. So we decided to more or less resemble the behavior of the marketplace, where people will face a plan, a fixed plan that will say, well, this is what we offer, and this is what it will cost you. Would you be willing to pay, yes or not? That was our main question. So this hypothetical plan that I told you before, we sent it to a for-profit health plan in California, to the actuarial department of this health for-profit health plan. And these actuaries estimated what would be like the marketable price of this product. And they told us that it was $150 a month to covering the subscriber and 2 to 5 dependents in Mexico. So in our survey, we asked, well, how much, well, would you be willing to pay this amount for covering you and 2 to 5 dependents living either in the US or Mexico, offering this basic healthcare services in the US and comprehensive healthcare in Mexico? However, we decided to make an assumption that the subscriber wouldn't pay for the entire cost of this health plan, because most of the people in the US, they don't contribute for the entire cost. So they receive either subsidies from their employers or they receive subsidies from the government. And that minimizes direct contributions for healthcare. So the panel of researchers agreed that we should like ask them only for half of the cost. So we, in the survey, we include the range of $75 to $125 a month for this product. A second question to evaluate the strength of the preferences of this population was whether they will be willing to pay this plan, knowing that public providers in Mexico will be in charge of most of the coverage. Many migrants in the US usually are very distrustful of public providers in Mexico because they either had bad experiences when they were living in Mexico or because they have heard about bad experiences. That is not always founded, but it's a matter of perception. If a person just finds that they have to use healthcare in Mexico with a public provider, they may simply not be willing to pay for it. So we need to consider this second question as a matter of measuring the strength of preferences for this kind of coverage. And since migrants send a lot of money for out-of-pocket healthcare expenditures with private providers, we ask a third question. And here we double the range of values to $150 to $2,050 a month. But coverage in Mexico with private providers. And then we just ask this, obviously our survey included other socio-demographic information and on health status, so we could be able to control for these factors in their willingness to pay. Our survey was very well accepted. We had almost a 90% response rate in this this event. I forgot to say, it took place every single Saturday for about 2 months. And every single Saturday, a different team from a different state of Mexico got together. And the people from that state was present in that event. So we were able to disaggregate the population by state of origin in Mexico. We had 702 observations, and approximately 90% of them were born in Mexico. As we can obviously understand, like those who are more willing or have the time or money to go to this kind of events are probably those people that are more affluent and they can afford the opportunity cost of attending a recreational event. Like poor people have to work during the weekends, they may not be represented in our survey. And yes, when we compare our means in our survey with the means of the Mexican population living in the US, we found that our sample is overrepresented by people that have been longer in the US and that have a higher socioeconomic status. However, this sample replicates important trends in the Mexican population living in the U.S. For example, we find that those with insurance are more likely to use services, that 46% send remittances for health purposes in Mexico is slightly more male, and using documentation, we found that 44% were very likely to be undocumented. Also, this survey was a source of information about the dependents in Mexico, and we found that 44% have relatives in Mexico that have some form of health insurance coverage. I don't know if you can see in this table what is in the paper, and those who were more willing to pay just by comparing a bivariate analysis, those who were more willing to pay for this cross-border product were those who received treatment when sick, remitted money for health expenses, who were uninsured in the U.S., or that had to pay for private care in Mexico. And those who were less willing to pay for this product were those respondents who work in the U.S., who are employed, that visited a healthcare provider in the U.S., that used community clinics, or with medical coverage in the U.S. And finally, the results of our study show that 62% of the sample population was willing to pay for this product. When we asked them about, well, you have to consider this with public providers in Mexico, this percentage declined to 57%. And when we asked them, well, if we offer you the binational coverage but with private providers in Mexico, they were only 23% of them were willing to pay that range for private providers in Mexico. And then we use a logit model to estimate, to account for confounding variables. And we found that the main determinants of willingness to pay for this product was having dependents in Mexico with health insurance, not without. And the second is sending remittances for health purposes. And finally, a discussion of our paper is that we consider this cross-border insurance is challenging, but might be feasible under a guest worker program that, as Will mentioned, could include a mandate to regularize your status in the U.S. by getting health insurance, either if it's a cross-border product or a conditional amnesty where people could receive subsidies to buy this product. However, we face certain important needs that need to be considered, for example, the quality of services in Mexico, how that's going to be regulated in the U.S., or also how Mexico is going to work with the U.S. since most of the health insurance regulations are at the state level. They will be creating 50 cross-border health insurance, or they will have to create somebody at the federal level that can lead to this cross-border utilization of services. Thank you very much.
Well, as they say, last but not least, our last presenter today is from Mexico, and Miguel Angel Gonzalez Black has known a number of us for a while, certainly as a long-time colleague of Dr. Warner, and he's been doing this work for a long time. He is the director of the Center for Health Systems Research and Salud Migrante. He has been the co-author of a plan that has been under discussion by counterparts on both sides of the border. It was actually the discussion an event that happened in Mexico City back on June 6th and June 7th. The Mexican government has been, at various times in the last year, have been considered actively an option of doing some pilot demonstration projects here in this country. They've looked at a variety of possible states, states as varied as the state of Washington, Iowa, North Carolina, state of New York, California. And I think Dr. Gonzalez Black will talk about the nature of his model, as well as some of the prospects, current prospects for action between the U.S. and Mexico. Dr. Black.
Thank you very much, Gil. And good afternoon to you all. Indeed, I want to thank the California Access to Care Initiative for your kind invitation